And then at this time, I know we were going to continue. Not quite sure how you want to title this one.
So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, what we wanted to do was have a little bit more discussion this morning as we put in a delay mode for overnight, as we pulled together a few numbers in respect to the conversation we had about license numbers. In your book, we have the administrative action for the commission where we have some changes associated with the East River deer season that was based on conversations we've had over the last year, EHD, the low numbers in that southeast part of the state. And we went in there and addressed several of those units by further reduction of licenses as a way to help try to bolster some of those deer numbers down there. Again, in the grand scheme of our overall process, for the veteran commissioners and then for you new commissioners, for the deer hunting seasons, elk seasons, all of our big game seasons, what we do is go in a two-year rotation where we actually bring recommendations for licenses based on what our current objectives are for units, the information that we have, both biological and harvest information, collectively pull all that together. This particular year, we're actually on the quote-unquote off year of bringing the full package of recommendation of license changes. That's why you didn't see in your booklet adjustments for East River deer, West River deer, Black Hills deer, all of the different deer seasons. East River deer, that was because of the real concerns that we've been talking about and expressed for down there in the southeast part of the state. Now, while we do a two-year rotation, that does not mean or preclude the commission making adjustments to license allocations for various units on the off season. Because it is not administrative rule change, it is action taken by you, the commission. So you have the authority, you have the prerogative to make some on that off year adjustments if you so choose and desire. So that's where we're at today and in the process this year. So you have in your book those changes for the East River deer, and then Commissioner Teal and Commissioner Spring also brought up questions about a couple of other units, in particular in western South Dakota, the West River deer season. And the one in particular that was brought up was for Meade County. And so we went back and visited with staff a little bit. Please keep in mind that staff have conversation about all of these units in the off years also. They're looking at the harvest information. They're looking at our current objectives. They look at the weather. Did we have a tough winter, open winter? All those different factors come into play. And when they reviewed that early on, based on the information that was in front of them, from harvest information to conversations with our local staff, conversations with other landowners out there, we did not initially bring any type of suggested changes in this off year for any West River deer season units, hence why there was nothing in the book for it. Appreciate commissioners bringing forward comments that you're hearing, you're seeing, folks that you're talking to, because that is also helpful. And the other big factor that was brought up, I believe, in these conversations was we had EHD in western South Dakota again last year also. Again, it's oftentimes very localized. It's not widespread. And even in a given unit, it can be very localized. It's not evenly distributed in terms of the impact within one hunting unit as well. We see that all the time with EHD. And so it's oftentimes very challenging, on what actions to take or not take, or do we wait one more year and see how it plays out. And then the other factor with EHD is the reports we obtain from the public. We encourage the public to reach out to us, our local staff, whether it's a local conservation officer, wildlife damage specialist, our office, we don't care. Just reach out to us and tell us if you are finding deceased deer on your properties that you believe is from EHD. Especially if you see something that's still alive, we will go out, take the animal, do testing to confirm that's what it is. Now the challenge with that is, in some instances, we get a lot of information and a lot of reports. In other locations, in other instances, we don't hear much at all, if anything. And so when we don't hear those comments from the public, landowners, whoever it might be, and you don't have that information, it's really hard to go in and make further adjustments. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons that you folks did not see adjustments in the West River deer season. We had a couple of reports, but the numbers that we had just did not lend itself to going in and making further adjustments. It was a different scenario than what we were hearing from Southeast South Dakota in particular. Now, that being said, we continue to have discussions about some low deer numbers in pockets and locations. You have taken multiple actions over the years, the last couple of years in particular, to really reduce, in many cases, minimize to almost eliminate doe harvest opportunities with the hope of continuing to help bolster those numbers out there. So that's just a quick background in the general process that we go through in that. So what we did is we had some discussions with our local staff, and of the three units that were brought up for some further discussion, what we have in front of you that I'll share with you in just a moment is at least one change right now within Meade County. That was one that we've had some conversations about. I know Commissioner Teal, you had also mentioned Butte County from Perkins County. When we talked about those two counties, it was a little bit different also. Those are counties that we have seen some pretty strong deer numbers in general. I'm not going to say in pockets that it's not. Even to the point where our staff were considering, do we need to make slight adjustments in our overall population objective approach to those individual units. Butte County is an interesting one also, because for a long time, what we have heard is about strong deer numbers, deer depredation, what are you going to do about all the deer numbers? And so even our local staff were like, wow, we're having some folks saying we have low deer numbers is almost a strange thing for them to hear right now. So we did make and have a one suggested potential change, and that would be in Meade County right now. And that particular change would be eliminating, we have an 18 license type, which is an any whitetail plus a whitetail antlerless deal, so it's a two-tag license. And remove that particular license type and switch that over to just 11, which is an any whitetail. So basically, you're completely eliminating that second tag, which is a doe tag or an antlerless tag. So that was one of the adjustments that we would recommend for Meade County at 49A right now. Now, again, commissioners, if you have that strong desire, you want to have some additional conversation on a couple of those other units or some of these license types, we can certainly do that. I will pass this out so you can see what that looks like. And then I guess we can take it from there and have some additional discussion conversations. Again, what we would offer up to you, this may not even be final also. What we would recommend is that we have our discussion today. We can make some final adjustments based on our discussion and then have this at your May commission meeting where you would take your final action on this administrative action of finalizing the license numbers and types that at May you would finalize that, and then we would insert that into the application licensing system for the deer draw. So I would ask you to turn to, I guess it'd be the back part of the second page where it'll start with the 2026 West River deer. And you'll see one line in there that has some yellow highlighted. So the yellow is what is being adjusted here. And if you go down the column of the 18 license type or that AW plus ATLW, that's that any whitetail plus an antlerless whitetail. There were 250 allocated for that particular unit, 49A. The yellow, you'll see a strike through, so that's removing those 250. But then under column NEW 11 type, there's 250 there, so that would be moving them over there. So again, we would be removing that second antlerless tag from that license type, and it would just be one license or one tag with that license. Again, that would reduce some level of harvest. That action alone would reduce our estimate somewhere around that number of about 45 does. There wasn't a lot of harvest of does because a lot of those folks you're using their licenses for the harvest of a buck. Even when we look at in 49A, last year in 2025, of those 500 any deer tags, we had a harvest of, I believe it's 16 or 17 does off of those 500 tags, so that the harvest of does was very, very minimal. And we don't see that as a real trigger in terms of a biological impact and the opportunity for that. But so those are just a few stats. That's some of the items that we discussed with staff here quickly over the last 24 hours. Again, I think that's at least a starting point, and if you, I'll open it up back to you, commissioners, if there's any other discussion or any other folks would like to chime in and offer anything up. But again, you know, we can continue the conversations over the next month, understanding that, because you're not going to take the final action today. We will bring it forward at the May meeting for you to make final decisions on those license allocations.
Very good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. Questions and conversation from the commission? Commissioner Spring.
On 49B, you have 700 tags that don't list what they are here. And I see, you know, those any deer or what?
Yeah, Commissioner Spring. So 49B, there are 600 any deer or the 01 tag type. So it's a single tag, any deer. And then there are 100 antlerless, or excuse me, any whitetail. So that's the total of 700.
I'd like to see that as some of those are the individual license.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's just given the overall. There's about two-thirds of that unit, the deer population is very bad, and then there's about a third of it, there's a lot of whitetail deer. We've had 3 years of PhD, and it's, the numbers are really bad in a lot of areas, and in some areas that aren't bad, but I'd hate to see those shot anywhere in the unit myself.
Yeah, again, just for your information, Commissioner Spring, so in 2025, on the any deer tags for 49B, we had a harvest of 6 whitetail does. So the number was very minimal, adult does. 6 were harvested in that off of the 01 or the any deer tag type. So the vast majority of our hunters in that unit were harvesting buck deer, not does with that particular license type. And on the, bear with me, on the, for 49B, the 11 type, which is the any whitetail, the 100 of those, there were 8 adult does harvested on those particular licenses. So again, the number was pretty minimal, pretty small in respect to the total number of licenses that were issued and the total harvest. But just for your information, that's what we ascertained from our harvest reporting.
Commissioner Spring,
What percentage of the hunters sent in a report card? I mean, was it a high percentage of reporting or a low percentage?
Commissioner Spring, I do not have that in front of me. My information is looking at the numbers and my success rate of the tag. So I don't know. I would say typically, I'm going to guess it's somewhere about 50%, maybe 60%, a little bit higher than that for return rates of harvest surveys.
Additional discussion from the commission. Commissioner Teal.
Tom, real quick, on that same discussion we're having now on Meade County, I think it said there was 6 or 8 does shot on those any whitetail licenses. How many bucks were shot with those same licenses?
Yeah.
Type 11s.
Type 11s for 49B. We had 47.
Okay. I was just checking because I was curious if only like 20 were shot. Maybe it was the low doe harvest was more indicative of the population, but looks like there was pretty decent success.
Yeah, it was just a little over, right around that 50% success rate on that.
Okay. Yep. And then could you give me the same numbers possibly for 53C, Southern American?
Yep. So 53C, for the 01 license type, so the any deer, we had 9 whitetail adult does harvested out of that 500 licenses. So 9 does out of that 500 licenses of the 01 license type. Does that make sense? The any deer.
Yep.
Okay.
And do you happen to have the same numbers for that type 18 license?
Yes. So 53C, 18 license type, we had 141 whitetail box adults harvested and 63 adult does, whitetail does.
Okay. Yeah, like you said, I think a lot of it is localized. I know the majority of the concern I heard in Perkins was from the south part of the southern unit. And as you get north, I think there's a lot more does, but I think the problem in that unit is most of the public land is in the south part of the unit. So the hunters are concentrating on the south side and those deer are not coming back. It's hard to micromanage it when success rates are high like that, but that part of the unit seems to be hurt, and I think it's very similar to what's happening in Meade County and Chuck's area as well. But thank you for those numbers. That's very helpful.
And it was also interesting, Commissioner Teal, when we talked to local staff out there, some of the comments they made, in particular about Perkins County this last year, with the relatively decent or good precipitation they had, there was good habitat conditions, crops, everything was in pretty good shape for the most part across the county. And an observation by our local staff, they believed that deer were more spread out and scattered versus more congregated in some places that they've seen before. And they just attributed that, some of it, to the overall habitat conditions that up there this last year. Now, is that going to hold true again next year and the year after? Hard to tell, right? But it was just some observations they made as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Secretary Rowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom, can you please explain to the Commission some of the growth rates we're seeing? Is the deer herd growing? Is it stable? Where is that growth? What direction is it headed, if you will, please? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Secretary Robin. I might have Andrew chime in here as well and share some. But in general, what we're hearing from staff based on, again, some of the biological information we obtain our field counts in the fall of recruitment, doe fawn ratios, and in particular, up there in that area where you're talking, Commissioner Teal and Perkins, what we've seen the last couple of years is some continued growth of overall deer numbers. Again, our biggest challenge is nothing's ever evenly distributed across a hunting unit or multiple hunting units. We do have variation, as Commissioner Spring has described as well in his part of western South Dakota. But we are seeing deer numbers. We're seeing mule deer numbers in particular rebounding and growing. Many locations, we're seeing the same thing for whitetail. We still have some pockets where it's low, but Andrew, are you on, or Trenton, if you are and listening, I guess I would ask one of you to maybe chime in and give the commissioners a little more specific or details on overall deer growth and what we're seeing in western South Dakota.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, thank you, Andrew. Go ahead.
All right, Andrew Martin, Wildlife Program Administrator, and Andy Lindblom had presented on the projected changes last year. Statewide whitetail growth rate was 9%. Statewide mule deer growth rate was 5%. As Director Kirschman mentioned, there's a lot of local variation, that being a statewide growth rate would vary a lot being in northwestern South Dakota. Hemorrhagic disease is certainly impacted that herd, not recently, so hopefully that did not affect it as much, but we definitely would expect a decent growth rate, probably close to the average there in Perkins County, Butte County, Meade County. And then mule deer, much lower, probably half the growth rate, and that's going to vary as well with a variety of factors. Fortunately, not hemorrhagic disease with the mule deer, but I'd say on average 9% with white-tailed deer and 5% with mule deer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrew, can you explain to the Commission some of the data analysis unit fawn-to-doe ratios, please? Do you have any of that information in front of you? What is the recruitment rate up in the northwest versus the southwest versus the central part of the state? How much does that vary? I know we spend a lot of effort in quantifying those data, so if you could explain some of that, that'd be great.
Through the Chair, Secretary Roebling. What I have in front of me is the statewide trends and the variation. Generally, we see the fawn-to-doe ratios lower for mule deer than we see for white-tailed deer, a little bit more delayed reproduction and lower fawns per doe pregnant when they give birth. Also, a little bit lower survival for those mule deer fawns, so slightly lower, but on average, if whitetails range 70 to 90 fawns per 100 does. If you have a really good year, you have a 1-to-1 ratio, so every adult doe would be bringing one whitetail fawn in. We haven't seen that in a while. Mule deer a little bit lower. That ranges, I would say, just above 50 to 70, so maybe 10 fawns per doe lower with the mule deer. In 2024, that statewide rate was, let me see if I can get this right, just over 70 for mule deers and right at 80 for whitetail deer. How that ranges spatially in western South Dakota, probably a little bit lower recruitment rates. If I remember from some of the studies, I would believe the Black Hills has a little bit lower on mule deer recruitment rates, and I don't, unfortunately, have in front of me the differences between southwest and northwestern South Dakota, so I don't want to speculate too much how those vary, but there's definitely variations. We have 11 data analysis units across the state and most certainly have those recruitment rate estimates at that scale, one of which is Harding County, Perkins County, and I believe Corson might be included in that one. I can't remember exactly, but they're an aggregate of like three counties that we measure those recruitment rates at. And I can certainly provide that to the commission if they're interested in seeing those exactly.
Any other questions, conversation, discussion from the commission? Commissioner Spring.
Tom, I was wondering, you said that the rate last year was like 50 to 60% the license filled. Is that normal, or in previous years when West River had a lot more deer, was it a higher rate of filling or not?
Commissioner Spring, in average, in general, on years to years, it is not unusual to see that 50 to 55% success rate on those types of licenses out there. You know, even in years when we have stronger numbers, more deer, the likelihood is we're going to have a few more licenses available as well, and so that success rate may not change a whole lot. So that range, I would say, is fairly consistent. Now, it varies from year to year, right? Weather could be a variable, availability of deer, just the localness of it, but it's not unusual to see that 50 to 55% success rate on that type of buck tag, and I think that's what you're referencing.
Visiting with some people that were hunting walk-in areas, public land, and last year, it was the last weekend, and this group of people said that they'd never seen a deer the whole season, and that's why I asked that question. Sure.
Yeah, and in a couple of these units in particular that we're having this discussion about, where we do have some of those antlerless licenses, Perkins County in particular, they are designated for private land only also. So it's that approach then is putting the
ability for the landowner to make that decision or discretion of additional dole harvest in that particular area if they see it as needed or desired based on what they're seeing. And if not, then the private landowner is going to control, if I may, that harvest level, and which is no different than your ranch, right? Commissioner Spring, you're going to make that determination who has the ability and access to hunt on that property.
Commissioner Teal.
Tom, I was just looking at in Perkins, I see there's 100 of those 19 P tags. And maybe something to consider would be maybe we could possibly move those doe tags from the double tag. So right now there's 250 double antlerless tags, if I'm not mistaken. They're good for public land as well. Any whitetail plus antlerless. And maybe if it was possible to move those onto a private land only, so those areas where they are having success in the north part of the county, they would still be able to shoot their does, but the public land that people seem to be complaining about might have a chance to rebound a little better. Just kind of move some of that harvest off, give them a chance, but wouldn't actually be decreasing overall licenses, it would just be reallocating.
Yeah, we currently have, as you can see, 100 licenses excuse me, that are double tag antlerless deer, or that 09P, and then there's the 100 that are two antlerless whitetail that are a 19P, which would be the private land also. I think you see that, right?
Yep.
You're just looking at that 250. That's
yeah.
the 18 type, and put it more on private landers.
Yeah, so if there was 250 any whitetail tags, another 250 antlerless whitetail double private tags, just reallocating them. So basically there is would be no more double any whitetail tag. It would limit that whitetail doe harvest to private land where it's needed.
Yeah, moving that, you'd certainly increase the density on that private land if it would be allowable, but flip side, it would be taking some of that density off some of the public land as well.
Correct. Yep.
We can certainly go back if okay with you and have some further discussions with staff on that and think about the big picture of objectives and where we're at and how that would work and play
maybe
out.
Maybe it wouldn't even have to be all of them, but a portion of them. Because I do think that if there was there's probably not a heat map, obviously, but I can about guarantee that the majority of that doe harvest is in the north part of the county, and there's very little public land in the north part of the county, so I think it'd be a good move, but we can have further discussion.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, then it's good recommendation suggestions and gives us the ability to go back and have further conversations with staff.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I'd like to, Secretary, go ahead.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was just going to say I will be happy to continue this conversation in our mid-months. We cover some of these other questions in greater detail, provide a little more data in regards to some of the fawn to doe ratios. We'll also have a presentation in May that covers the East River allocations, the history of that, you know, the 10-year history of where we've been, where we're at now. We'll do the same for West River, and then we'll continue these conversations in regards to some further reductions in certain units. And we'll have that conversation here in a couple of weeks. So thank you, Commissioners, and thank you, Tom, for cracking open this discussion.
And I would just ask that, you know, appreciate Commissioner Teal and Spring bringing forward the questions, the concerns, and we'll reach back out to you to further have some of those conversations over the next week or two before your mid-months that we can have some more definitive information for you as well.
So, Director Kirschman, for the public that are going to want to take a look at this and provide any input, anything we'll finalize on this in May.
Correct.
Any information that will be available online to the public will come when?
Yeah, so what we'll do is we continue to work through this. Probably what we'll do is at least where we are today, knowing some of these adjustments, we'll redo this. We'll post it just like on our website so people can see it if they want to provide comment. We'll continue to work on it, and then we'll bring some final adjustments at the May meeting for you and your consideration to finalize for the license allocations. For it would be finalizing both the East River changes that you have in front of you right now and these West River ones that you're discussing as well.
Okay. With that, if we don't have any other questions, thank you for bringing these changes last night and this continued discussion. And with that, we will move to